What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate you guys spending some time on this Monday night, September 11th. The Lakers just under a month away from starting preseason basketball, which means we're not too far away from training camp. We're not too far away from the Lakers getting underway. So we got a lot to get into tonight. Of course, I'm going to spend some time talking about the Lakers signing Christian Wood. A lot of angles on that. I haven't really got a chance to react to it. Was on vacation. That's it. Vacation's done. So no more missing time. No more missing Lakers talk. Those summer days are over. They're behind us. So I'll spend some time on Christian Wood. Jovan Buha had a good article about Christian Wood and just the amount of opportunities that he's going to get this upcoming season. So I'm going to get his thoughts on that signing as well. The summer that Austin Reeves had, I know it didn't work out for the FIBA World Cup. He ends up, the Team USA ends up getting fourth place. They don't even medal. But Austin Reeves, one of the favorites to win a very interesting award this upcoming season. I'll spend some time on that. Speaking of FIBA, LeBron is reportedly recruiting a ton of NBA superstars and other stars, all-stars, I guess you can call them, to play in the 2024 championship or the Olympics. And then the last thing is potential rule changes in the NBA and how that could affect the Lakers. So we got a lot to get into. Let's start with Christian Wood. So like I mentioned, I was on vacation last week, and I remember doing all these other shows of Lakers talk, and there was just so much interest in the 14th player being signed on the Lakers. Think about that for a second. The 14th player to be signed by the Lakers. There's a lot of articles that were out. Heck, I was spending time on it, whether on Lakers Talk or some of the other platforms that I'm on. And the conversation was, what are the Lakers going to do with that 14th roster spot? Not the 8th, not the 10th, not the 12th, the 14th roster spot. We are giving that much attention to the 14th roster spot. Part of the reason why that was getting or garnering attention was because Christian Wood was one of the players that was still available. So if you look at that, look at all the available free agents, Christian Wood was the best free agent available a couple months after free agency, right? If you want to look at it that way, free agency started on July 1st. Here we were, even by the time September started, and Christian Wood was still part of the conversation. Now, there's a couple reasons why. I had read some stories that a lot of it was going to be dependent on, is this Damian Lillard to the Miami Heat thing going to happen? Because if it does happen, maybe there's a trickle effect there, and maybe Christian Wood can be a part of the Miami Heat, and he can have a real role there and get some opportunities. And a lot of it sounded like, was going to weigh on that. I'll say this about Christian Wood. And I'm just going to look at it just from a stats perspective, and I think there's some things that we got to keep in mind once Christian Wood, once we get to the season starting, but the guy puts up numbers, and if you're just looking at it from a stats perspective, look at the trajectory of how his kind of season has, or how his career has progressed since 2018-2019 with New Orleans, 17 points, 8 rebounds a game. Then he played a season with the Detroit Pistons, 13 points and 6 rebounds. And then he flourished with the Houston Rockets for a couple years, 21 points, 10 rebounds. The Houston Rockets, 18 points, and I think it's 10 rebounds. And then last year with the Dallas Mavericks, 16 points and 7 rebounds. Why would a player of that caliber, putting up those type of points in the NBA, still be available in free agency 2 months after free agency started? Shot 51% from the field last year, 37% from three. It's an impressive stat line. And I think one of the things that when I go back to, well, why does it matter who the Lakers signed with their 14th roster spot? Maybe it only mattered because Christian Wood was still available, and the Lakers are going to try to do what they've done with Chris, what they've done with some other players. Malik Monk used the Lakers platform to go get him a nice deal in Sacramento, and he's doing his thing. He had a fantastic season last year, and give that guy a lot of credit. Dennis Schroeder used the Lakers platform last year to try to go get himself a better deal in the NBA, and we saw what he did in FIBA. Germany ends up winning the FIBA World Cup. There's some other players out there, too. I remember after Lakers, what was it, when they won the NBA championship, and I know it's not Rondo's first contract, but Rondo got a contract, I think, with the Atlanta Hawks, 2 years, $15 million, something like that. He ended up getting paid. So it's not uncommon for players and agents to look at the Lakers and say, okay, that team gets 40 nationally televised games a year. That team is always constantly talked about. That team can really, really at least put you on the map, and maybe you can go get a contract somewhere else if things work out. That's pretty much the game plan for Christian Wood with the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, I don't know if the Lakers are looking at it the same exact way, but I think Christian Wood, it's a two-year deal. He's got an option in the second year. That's the right way to look at it for him. Hey, this is an opportunity for me. I get to come play for the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm going to be on a team that has incredible depth. I'm going to be on a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Hell, the Lakers got to the Western Conference Finals this past season. Yes, they lost to the Denver Nuggets, got swept by the Denver Nuggets. But look how many games the Lakers played. Look at the exposure that it got. Christian Wood is going to try to use the Los Angeles Lakers to, I think, in a perfect world for Christian Wood, he competes for a championship, and then he ends up with a big contract somewhere else where he could say, okay, I cashed in on my opportunity with the Lakers. For the Lakers, it's a little bit different. For the Lakers, first off, what's the risk? You have literally no risk in signing Christian Wood to a minimum deal. You signed him to a minimum contract. You guys, I'm going to go back to the numbers that I just said. In the last couple of years, last year, 16-7 with the Mavs. With the Houston Rockets, 18-10. And the Mavs actually traded for Christian Wood from the Rockets, so they had to give up some capital to get him. They thought he was going to play a bigger role. It sounds like, I was reading some articles the last couple of days, doesn't sound like him and Jason Kidd were always on the same page. I don't know if he agreed with the role that Jason Kidd wanted him to be on. That is one of the things that I think I've read here over the last week or so, or just some things to keep in mind about Christian Wood. But you literally have zero risk if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. Listen, could something happen? Maybe he caused some chemistry issues, any of that stuff. Yeah, that could happen. I guess that could be the case. I don't like that he's played for eight teams in 8 years in the NBA. If, you know, that doesn't typically happen with players that you feel like, okay, hey, they found the right situation. Okay, you know what? Two teams didn't work out, but then he found the right situation. He's good to go. Philly, Chicago, Milwaukee, New Orleans, Detroit, Houston, Dallas, and now the Los Angeles Lakers. It's going to be his eighth team. But I really, really don't see any risk in this. I want to read something because he had a statement when he signed, and I think it's important to read because, first off, it's from Christian Wood's perspective, number one. And number two, it highlights something about Darvin Ham that I think why this situation could be different and why the Lakers and Darvin Ham could get the absolute best out of Christian Wood. Mark Spears, you know, we obviously know a vet in the game with ESPN as well as Anscape. This is the – they had first reported this, and this is the message that Mark Spears put out coming from Christian Wood. I've always wanted to be a Laker. I know we can win a championship. Communication with a coach is a big key. Coach Ham and I go back to our Milwaukee days, and we've had great conversations every day about this opportunity. He believes in me and told me I'll be playing a big role and knows what I can do. I'm looking forward to this, motivated after what Dallas did. All right, you can read into that as you need to. But it sounds like a player with a chip on his shoulder, and it sounds like a player. I don't really need to talk about Darvin Ham's resume with players. They play for their coach. If you got any issues with Darvin Ham, hey, I don't like his rotations. Hey, I don't like this. You know, in this situation, I wish he would do this. Fine, all good. You can have your arguments, whatever that looks like. What you can't argue is Darvin Ham's relationship with his players. You can't argue that the players are not playing tough for him. You can't argue that Darvin Ham most of the time is looking at it as, look, I love all these guys, but ultimately at the end of the day, I need results. I need guys to play defense, which, by the way, that's one of his downsides or one of his liabilities is what he is on the defensive end. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I just can't find a negative to bringing Christian Wood in on the Los Angeles Lakers in the 14th roster spot on the team on a minimum contract with Darvin Ham, who he has a relationship with LeBron James, Anthony Davis. We obviously know their leadership and his skill set, and the skill set that comes with a guy like Christian Wood, 6'10", long wingspan. I mentioned what he does on the floor, and I mentioned some of his stats. So I don't see any downside to this. The one thing that I really, really hope Christian Wood does for the Los Angeles Lakers, it's sometimes tough when you're in a situation like him where you're trying to ball out and show, look, I'm not a minimum player. Or, look, whatever I was in my previous stops, I'm not that player. Give me a real opportunity. Sign me to a 2-3-4-year deal. Pay me some real money. I'm sure there's going to be times everyone's going to have that tendency to want to perform, want to show, hey, this is what I could do. And I think with the Lakers, I don't know how great that opportunity is going to be because the team's trying to win a championship. So what they're going to ask Christian Wood to do is be there, come off the bench, kind of try to have that big lineup, the long, lanky players. You already got Jackson Hayes. You already got Anthony Davis. You got guys like Jared Vanderbilt, Rui Hachimura. You got a lot of guys in that front court that could play the front court spot and position, including LeBron James. So the one thing that I think he's going to have the challenge with is the Lakers got an incredible amount of depth. I don't know if that depth helps him, but he's going to have to work his way on that roster and earn those minutes. And if he can do that, and if he's buying into the system, and if he's buying in to what the Lakers are trying to build, and he's trying to potentially be that last missing piece to get to the NBA Finals and try to get championship number 18, then I think the Lakers are going to be in great shape. And I think for Christian Wood, it's a great opportunity as well. But this is some of the advantage that the Lakers have that some of these other teams don't have. When you're a player that's signed to a minimum, but your numbers tell everyone you should not be on a minimum contract, what happens with that? It means that that exposure is going to be there for you, and the Lakers could give you that exposure. Now it's up to him to deliver. So the Lakers signing Christian Wood was obviously really big news last week, and it was big news for a couple of reasons. And I think the upside of having him on the roster, we're going to have to wait and see, but it kind of put a bow on the offseason that Rob Pelinka had. When we come back, I want to spend a little time on Pelinka. And every move he made I thought was so calculated. I'm not sure really if the offseason could have gone any better. Now, that doesn't guarantee you that it's going to become it's a championship team or anything along those lines, but I think the Lakers have put themselves in a good position. Want to talk about Pelinka, and then also want to talk about Austin Reaves, what he was able to do. And there's an interesting – there's already out on one of these websites, Bet Online. There's already Austin Reaves is already the favorite to win something that I think would be an unbelievable honor for him, and it just kind of shows his continued success that he's having in the league. So we'll do that coming up next. Jovan Buha of The Athletic at 7:30. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, so Gabe Vincent, Taurean Prince, Cam Reddish, Jackson Hayes, Christian Wood, re-signed Rui, re-signed D'Angelo Russell, re-signed Austin Reaves. Obviously, Anthony Davis got his extension as well. It's kind of funny reading a lot of this stuff on Twitter after the Lakers ended up signing Christian Wood. You got a lot of people going out there, and I don't know if apologizing is the right way to put it for Rob Pelinka, but really just praising what he was able to do this offseason. Listen, I said this before, and I'll say it again. It doesn't guarantee you anything that you put together a roster. Just think about where the Lakers were before the trade deadline last year, how much the team just continued to struggle. A year and a half ago, whenever that was, when the season ended, they won 33 games and lost 49. The Russell Westbrook trade, I don't need to go back and rehash all that. We all know that that was just an unbelievably bad trade that just there was no ripple effects to it that you could say, okay, well, at least this happened or that happened. And they got to the trade deadline last year, and it's still, there wasn't a guarantee, is Russ going to be gone? Is teams just going to be asking for two first-rounders, and that's the only way that you're going to be able to get out of the Russ deal? Whatever the case was, to have had the season they had last year based on what the previous 2 years look like, and then I think to have the type of success, it seems like on paper, the Lakers got so much depth this upcoming year. They have so much depth. They're deep in so many spots. It's kind of crazy. When I was just talking about Christian Wood's got to find opportunities for himself, and you know he's got to put the team first, and that's going to be difficult to do because he's also looking out for himself. He's trying to get paid a big deal. The numbers that he has on that stat line, those don't add up to a minimum contract in the NBA. They just don't. So for him, he's going to have to be, he's fighting with Rui. It's not the right way to put it, but what I mean by that is you're competing within your own team for a chance to shine and to show what your skill set is. Jared Vanderbilt's there. Rui's there. Obviously, Anthony Davis is going to be AD. LeBron is getting minutes, whether in the front court, back court. LeBron's doing everything. Put Jackson Hayes in there. Put some of these other wing players that can, you know, fill in and occasionally play a little bit of four, even though they're natural threes. He's going to have his work cut out for him, but it was a great offseason for the Lakers, and to cap it off with Christian Wood on top of it just kind of shows what Rob Pelinka's been able to build, and hopefully that's enough to take the Lakers to the next step. And it's not just getting back to the Western Conference Finals. It's actually trying to compete for an NBA championship. And the last thing, you know, I'll mention here is they got flexibility too. All their contracts, all their deals that they have, you're really not looking at any of these contracts and saying, well, that's going to bite them in a year or two. The age of where these players are, the upside that some of these guys have, the length of years on some of these contracts are all different. Some of them are 2-year deals, 3-year deals, 4-year deals, but nothing is crazy. Reeves was really the only one that got that 4-year deal. Nothing is crazy out there. Okay, speaking of Austin Reeves. So I didn't really watch the FIBA World Cup, maybe other people. Early on, I watched a little bit more of it, but I didn't really watch too many of these games. But I had an intrigue with, okay, hey, how's Austin Reeves going to do playing in this FIBA World Cup? And every game he was a part of, he's out there closing games. He's playing big-time minutes. And listen, whether this roster is impressive to you or not, it's obviously not the NBA sending their A squad out there, but Jalen Brunson, nice player. Mikal Bridges, nice player. Tyrese Haliburton, one of my favorite young players to watch in the NBA. Anthony Edwards, I've heard John Ireland talk about how a lot of people thinking this dude's the next guy in the league. So you go down the list. And then, you know, after that, whether it's Jaren Jackson Jr., Cam Johnson, I know B.I. was a part of the team as well, Brandon Ingram. Austin Reeves got real opportunities, and Austin Reeves just continued, I think, to raise his platform on an international level. Yes, he's been able to do that because he's playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, but he's also been a really, really good basketball player for the FIBA World Cup, playing with some all-star caliber players, and he was one of the few players that's like, all right, you got to close out the game, and you got to make sure Austin Reeves is in there. Even though Reeves was coming off the bench, he was still getting his opportunities and making the most of it. Bet Online, which is just one of those that they kind of try to guess the favorites, highest odds to win this, highest odds to win that. According to Bet Online, Austin Reeves is now listed with the highest odds to win the Most Improved Player of the Year award for next season. This would be a special honor for a guy who just two seasons ago went undrafted. I'm reading this on Fan Nation on one of the sites on here. But anyways, the main thing to take away is that he has the highest odds to win Most Improved Player of the Year award for next season. Think about Austin Reeves 2 years ago in the NBA. 2 years ago. Think about his journey, how he got to the league. Think about his two-way playing in the G League and playing, you know, trying to work his way up to the NBA and becoming a regular contributor with the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's fast forward. That was 2 years ago. How about this past season where there were times it was like, man, Austin Reeves, this guy, even though teams got opportunities to adjust him, even though now they got film on him, he's still productive. And then the season continues to progress. And it's like, all right, well, let's make sure Austin Reeves closes out games. Okay, he's not starting. That's fine. You want some, you know, depth and you want guys to come off the bench. But let's make sure he's closing out games. And then you reach the point in the season where you started saying, Austin Reeves got to be in the game. He's got to be playing 35 minutes a game. He better be starting. He better be closing out games. That's how important and integral Austin Reeves became to the Los Angeles Lakers. Go look at his postseason stats, what he was able to do. Go look at what he was able to do against Memphis and Golden State. He was not a guy that when the lights got bright, he shrunk. That did not happen with Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves, I thought his game, he upped his game come postseason. To just watch the guy's journey, and now there's some odds makers out there that got Austin Reeves that he's the highest odds to win Most Improved Player of the Year. It's funny because if before we used to just enjoy it and appreciate it when he was contributing, now it's expected, and now it's, no, they need you to perform. And the Lakers, I've said this before on a couple other shows, whether me doing the show with Trav or, you know, obviously doing the show, doing the Lakers show, Lakers Talk show. He's the third best player on the team, and there's no hesitation. There is no, and that's with a team that has D'Angelo Russell, and it has, you know, I'll use Rui Hachimura as an example. Whatever, you got some good role players out there. Austin Reeves is not a role player. He's an integral piece to what this team is, and it just kind of shows, A, how the Lakers were able to find him, give an opportunity. So, you know, shout out to the front office for that. But B, how he has just taken advantage of every opportunity in front of him, whether with the Lakers or on this international stage with FIBA, and has been able to do what he's done and how he's continuing to grow. So incredibly impressive. Shout out to Austin Reeves. I feel like we've done that a lot this summer, and we've done that a lot over the last year or so. But he deserves it, and he deserves the praise, and we'll see what he's able to do this upcoming year. I know the expectations are going to be there. Jovan Buha of The Athletic, he's coming up next. We'll talk a little bit about the Christian Wood signing. Okay, we know the positives. What are some of the negatives? We'll spend a little bit of time on that. How much contribution, how much opportunity does Jovan think Christian Wood's going to get with the Lakers? We'll do all that coming up next. Plus, a potential rule change in the NBA and how it affects the Lakers. Stay right here. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
All right, I want to welcome in Jovan Buha. As good as it gets when it comes to covering the Los Angeles Lakers, he does it for The Athletic. Jovan, appreciate the time, buddy. What are we, a month out? We're getting close here. You getting ready?
I'm ready, man. I'm about to take a couple weeks off, recharge, unplug, and then it's go time.
Yeah, and then it's the good old grind, which, by the way, we say it, and the reality is you and I get an opportunity to watch a lot of NBA games, and I don't think either of us have something anything to complain about, but I'm looking forward to it. And one of the reasons why I'm really looking forward to this upcoming year is not only are the Lakers coming off getting to the Western Conference Finals, I think most people have spoke very positively about what Pelinka has done in the offseason. And then last week, one of the final roster spots left on the team's 15-man roster, and usually they keep one roster spot open, but the 14th roster spot goes to Christian Wood. And I know it was almost 2.5 months after free agency started, but let me just start with this. Is there any downside that you could find in signing Christian Wood, knowing that you're basically just signing him to a minimum? Yes, it's a two-year deal, and there's a player option in the second year. But do you see any downside to what the Lakers did with their 14th roster spot?
Well, I think you can find downside in any situation. So for me, I think I would look at, you know, there was a reason why he was available for a vet minimum contract. Like, if I told you to close your eyes and imagine a 6'10" big man who was averaging 16 points, 8 rebounds, and a block, and shooting almost 40% from three, you would think that guy's an all-star or a $20 million a year player at a minimum. So I think when you look at Christian Wood, the upside is clear. He's obviously, to me, I think the most talented big man from a, you know, an offensive skill perspective that the Lakers have had, aside from Anthony Davis and, of course, LeBron James. But when you look at the guys that have been in that front court, like, I mean, Christian Wood, again, you know, 16 and 8 last year, has basically been 17 points a game the last 4 years, near 38% career three-point shooter. Like, the skill is apparent. To me, it's the defensive end of the floor where he can block some shots, but in terms of how he fits into a team scheme, and if you just look year over year, he tends to be towards the bottom of his team in terms of individual defensive rating. And then some of the locker room stuff. And you just hear things around the league of, this is a me first guy. This is a guy who's looking for his own shot. This is a guy who's checking the box score to see his numbers after a game. So I think there are, you can, you know, plug holes into any signing. But again, to get this guy for a vet minimum contract, I think the upside outweighs the downside. And there is some downside that there's a scenario in which, you know, he just doesn't fit based on the way he hasn't fit in other situations. Like, you look at Dallas last year, they're coming off a conference finals appearance. They're looking at Christian Wood as either, you know, the starting center or a big piece there. And he just never really fit despite putting up some big numbers. So I think that's the one place I look at it, is the defensive end of the floor and then some of the locker room stuff. But overall, it's a vet minimum signing. You're taking a flyer on the guy. And I do think, again, the upside outweighs any potential risk.
How much do you think? Because, listen, you're right. He's played for 8 teams in 8 NBA seasons. And those stat line, that stat line does not equal a minimum deal. That's just not how it works in the NBA. If you get some production, and there are a lot of players that, by the way, aren't that good on defense and are known for putting the ball in the bucket or putting the ball in the hoop. But I think at the same time, they can still get contracts because that's what they're really good at. And I guess my question then is, how much is the fact that he's got, sounds like a relationship, some type of relationship with Darvin Ham in the Milwaukee days, that LeBron is on this team, that Anthony Davis is on this team, that it doesn't seem like the Lakers are, you know, a lottery team. And you know what? We're going to lose games. I might as well just get mine. How much do you think that comes into play to where Christian Wood, we could be talking about Christian Wood in a couple of months and saying, wow, what a great start for Christian Wood with the Lakers?
I think it comes into play a lot where, you know, now I'm going to go in defense of Christian Wood here. Number one, he's never played a playoff game. He's never been on a team that's made the playoffs. So this alone, like, this is already the best team he's ever played on, you know, barring something unforeseen happening and this being a disaster season again.
Sure.
Like, you know, this is going to be the first time he plays on a playoff team. And number two, I think because of the way the market soured on him and did not reward him with the multi-year double-digit annual value that he believes he's worth, I think there's a level of desperation where I think you get humbled when you become a vet minimum player. And that's something that a lot of guys dread, because it's hard to shake that label of, you know, going from making a certain amount of money to becoming a vet minimum player, and then you kind of get pigeonholed there. So I think if you're Christian Wood, you're looking at some of these recent situations with the Lakers of a Malik Monk, a Dennis Schroeder, even a guy like Stanley Johnson, who I think was on his way out of the league and revived his career at least for a couple of seasons by that stint that he had with the Lakers a couple of years ago. So to me, I look at some of those situations, you know, Lonnie Walker. Like the Lakers have taken some flyers on risky guys that the league had kind of soured on or given up on, wrote off earlier in their careers. Obviously, Wood is a little bit deeper into his career, but he's still young. You know, he's only 27 years old. So I think if you look at some of the recent swings that the Lakers have taken on some of these riskier guys, a lot of them have panned out, at least in terms of, you know, exceeding expectations, being a rotation guy, you know, being a valuable player for the Lakers. So I think you can look at some of those recent examples and say, hey, I can come here. You know, he gets the player option. So if he has a bad year, he can opt in. But most likely, if he, you know, crushes it and does well and fits into a contending team next summer, he can opt out. And, you know, the Lakers will be hamstrung in terms of what they can offer him, but he can go get a mid-level contract or more if he, you know, does even better. So I think for him, it you know, there's a level of desperation and having to prove himself again of, okay, we've seen you put up the numbers. We know you're talented, but can you do this on a winning team? And this is set up for him to succeed. Like, if he comes in, plays 20, 25 minutes a night, backs up AD, plays alongside him in certain lineups and does a good job, like the sky's going to be the limit in terms of the type of contract he could get next summer. But he has to fully buy into what Darvin Ham wants, what LeBron James wants, and just do his job on a night-to-night basis in a way that we've never consistently seen from him through his first seven seasons.
Yeah, and that's going to be part of the challenge too, right? It's a player that's trying, like you mentioned, I got to prove myself again. I'm trying to get paid. You know, we could all sit here, yes, winning is a big part of sports, but at the end of the day, this is a job for them. This is a business to them. And he's going to have to try to balance, I'm on a team that's got a chance to win the whole thing. And I could be a piece of that, and I could turn. Let's look at Rui Hachimura, what he was able to do for himself, or Gabe Vincent, that finals run that he had with the Miami Heat. You can kind of even go outside of the players that took, you know, from a minimum perspective. But I think that's going to be an interesting balance for him, and we'll have to wait to see if it works out. Jovan Buha of The Athletic taking some time to join us here on Lakers Talk. Jovan, now that the dust has settled, I mean, I think, okay, we got the full roster of the Lakers, incredible depth. You got a lot of guys that are going to get some opportunities, and we'll see how the dust settles. The Lakers in the Western Conference, I've seen everything from 45 wins, 52 wins, and I'm not trying to get a prediction of how many wins you think they're going to get, but lining them up against the Denver Nuggets, who are the defending champs and lost also a couple pieces that they had as part of that championship team. Teams like the Phoenix Suns, who look reloaded and ready to go and ready to compete with anyone in the West. The Golden State Warriors adding Chris Paul, the chip on their shoulder. Some of the younger teams out there, the Sacramento Kings, can the Clippers stay healthy? How do you see the Lakers matching up right now in the Western Conference? How do you see them coming off a Western Conference berth? Just how do you see them in the scope of the West compared to so much talent?
Yeah, well, it's the West is just going to be ridiculous next season. It's going to be a complete bloodbath. I think you're going to have upwards of 12 or 13 teams competing for the 10 play-in spots. And really that top six is obviously where you're going to want to be, but just trying to map out like what six teams are going to make it. Like you're leaving, I mean, is Memphis going to miss it because Ja is going to have his 25-game suspension? Is Dallas going to bounce back with Luka and Kyrie having a full, you know, off season and training camp together? Like what happens with Sacramento compared, you know, was it a fairy tale season or are they going to ride that momentum? And
Thunder are on the up and up.
The Thunder
Pelicans
are on the up and up.
With like, the injuries. Yep.
I mean, Minnesota had a good end to the season and looked a lot better as things went on. Anthony Edwards obviously just had a monster stretch there with Team USA. So that's not even getting to the top of the conference. So for me, right now, I currently have the Lakers third in the West. That's not necessarily predicting the record because I'd have to know, you know, how many games does AD play, how many games does LeBron play. I think you're going to pencil those guys in to at least miss 10 to 15 games, and that might even be optimistic. But I have Denver, number one. I think you got to give them their respect as the defending champs. To me, Nikola Jokic is the best player in basketball. That starting lineup is the best five-man unit in basketball. Until someone beats that group, I think you got to give them their props. I agree with you. I think the depth is an issue. I think they're betting a lot on Christian Brown and Peyton Watson taking big steps next season. I don't know if they're ready for it. I mean, I thought Christian Brown had some good moments in the playoffs, but that's still, you know, I think they're just betting a lot on their young talent, and I don't love the depth. Number two for me is Phoenix. I think sometimes we overthink these star things. Most often than not, they're undone by health, and that is the big concern, I think, with Phoenix of looking at their stars and their recent health history. But if you tell me Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal are healthy in a playoff series, like, that's a tough team to bet against. Like, they have a lot of I think they have a lot of depth, actually. I thought they did good with some of their minimum signings. And you know, a guy like Kata Bates-Diop, or you know, bringing in Eric Gordon, like, just some of these guys, they have shooting, they have versatility. I think Frank Vogel is obviously an underrated coach, did a really good job with the Lakers, and is going to find a way to muster enough defense with that group. I think that's the other thing with them, of course, is, you know, can they play good enough defense? So I would say the Lakers are right there for me. Number three, I'd put them ahead of the Clippers, ahead of the Warriors, ahead of the Grizzlies, ahead of the Kings, whoever else you want to throw in the mix. I think, to me, there's a clear top three, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers, you know, jump the Nuggets or the Suns at some point in the regular season. I also look at the Lakers as the team most likely to make a move. They have the contract of D'Angelo Russell, the contract of Rui Hachimura. Like, if a star becomes disgruntled and wants out, the Lakers have some assets to go after that type of guy. They could also do a smaller move and plug a different hole. Like, I still think they need one more big man who you can trust to run a playoff defense. I don't think Christian Wood or Jackson Hayes is that type of guy of, like, 80s off the floor for 8 minutes. Can someone get out there and just protect the rim and not get crushed? You know, we'll see. Maybe Wood overexceeds expectations defensively. Hayes can develop. But, like, right now I still think they need one more big. And that's a guy you could maybe get buyout market at the trade deadline. Like, we'll see. But for me right now, I have the Lakers third behind Phoenix and Denver. But I think that's, like, a tier. You know, it's a pretty close together tier. But I give Denver their props, and I give Phoenix credit for the top-end star power and the shooting that they have.
Yo, Vaughn, great stuff as always, buddy. I'm looking forward to the season starting. I think we're going to have great storylines, not just with the Lakers, but the NBA in general, specifically the Western Conference. So I know we'll connect soon. So thank you again for us taking the time and joining the show, buddy.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man.
All right, that's Jovan Buha, The Athletic. Yeah, that flexibility thing that he mentioned there, you know, towards the end, I was trying to point at that earlier in the show. I know a lot of Lake fans want to see stability, and they did that this summer, but they also have a lot of flexibility that you just never know how things pan out once the season starts going, and there's a lot of contracts out there I don't think really people are going to look at and say, oh, well, that's not movable, or you know, those situations. I'm not going to get too much into that because you just want the season to start, see how this team is doing, but I think they're going to have some opportunities. Okay. I did not got a chance to get into, still a couple things I want to get into real quick here. Potential rule change in the NBA and how it could affect the Los Angeles Lakers. And LeBron is reportedly recruiting other NBA superstars to get in this for this 2024 Olympics. So we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, thank you again to Jovan Buha. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Back on tomorrow morning with T-Raj, with Travis Rogers. We'll do the Travis and Sliwa show. A couple more things I want to hit on here as we come to a close of the show. So it looks like there's potentially a rule change in the NBA, and it could have a pretty decent effect on the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm going to do my best to try and summarize this, but Woj and Shams Charania were sending some tweets out this morning. ESPN sources, this is from Woj. The NBA's competition committee has recommended stricter guidelines on resting players for nationally televised games and multiple stars together in the same games. The league's board of governors expected to vote Wednesday to pass the measures. A little bit more details to it. Under the new rules, teams would be fined $100,000 for a first violation, $250K for a second violation, and $1 million more than the previous penalty for each additional violation, sources tell ESPN. The NBA, we know, has they got a load management problem. There's no other way to put it. This started, I think, with the San Antonio Spurs, Greg Popovich. Hey, if I could rest my players, I'm going to rest them. We already got an 82-game grind. And what it's looking like right now, and I think this is kind of the best way to put it, and why this would affect the Lakers, probably would affect the Lakers as much as any other team. There are a lot of stipulations that come into play. What's defined as a star player is an all-star, all-NBA team in the previous three seasons. The Lakers obviously have Anthony Davis and LeBron, while also having 27 nationally televised games in the 2023-2024 season. So that one was from Shams. What could happen to the Lakers is they try to rest LeBron and Anthony Davis in a game. Maybe it's a back-to-back, whatever the case is. They could face fines if it's a nationally televised game. Listen, I'm not opposed to finding ways to, obviously make sure that these players are playing. Somebody that goes out of their way, who knows, flies from a different part of the country or the world to come see their star play. I'm a fan of trying to come up with ideas to make sure that those guys are playing. The problem is it's not really apples to apples. It's not. Because if the Lakers have 27 nationally televised games and the Pelicans or the Rockets or somebody else doesn't have somebody that qualifies as a superstar or maybe just doesn't have the amount of nationally televised games because there just isn't that much interest in that team, it puts the Lakers at a disadvantage. It puts the Warriors at a disadvantage. It puts the Suns at a disadvantage. The Nuggets at a disadvantage. So I think there's certain teams that it will have more of an effect on. And maybe that's all they care. Maybe they don't care about anything else. Yeah, maybe they don't care about the Orlando Magic or the, some of these other teams that are not getting that many nationally televised games. I know they're doing it for TV. I just want the best product out there on a night-in, night-out basis. But it's got to be fair for all the teams out there. And I don't know if that hits as being fair for every single squad out there. So that one is a little bit confusing to me. And it sounds like they're going to vote on it on Wednesday, and we're going to see if that comes through and how it potentially affects the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, that's all the time we got for tonight, so I appreciate everybody being a part of the show. Just a quick shout-out. Thank you to Michael Funches and Mario Ruiz. If you miss any part of the show, just go on the ESPN LA on the app, and Lakers Talk is right there on the podcast. You'll grab everything. LA, thank you very much. Have a great rest of your night.